Hey, it's Jason Mayhem Miller.
Hey, this is UFC President Dana White.
This is Royce Gracie.
Hey, this is UFC Bantamweight Champion Dominic Cruz.
Hey, this is Big John McCarthy, and you're listening to Mixed Martial Arts. Let's get it on.
It's the show Columbus fight fans turn to. The latest news and info in the world of MMA. It's Mixed Martial Arts, sponsored by Bud Light. Here we go. On Ohio's best rock, QFM 96. Here's your hosts, Arch Madness, Iron Mike Dorsey, and Doug St. Pierre.
Mixed Martial Arts, here we go. It's the show fight fans turn to. Arch Madness, DSP Doug St. Pierre, and Iron Mike Dorsey joining us in studio here later. Once we get to headlines, we'll talk to Josh Williams of Buckeye MMA. I know he's got a handful of fighters that are going tonight and some guys who have been in action here recently. We'll discuss. Now, on the show today, we will talk to Chris Larkin. Now, Chris Larkin is a promoter for...
He's
the promoter for the OFC, and we've had Chris on for some of his fights that he's had and stuff. We went to Screamin' Willie's and enjoyed those shows and stuff. He is actually fighting for Rick Piles and those guys over at UVC tonight.
Funny, in the main event. A promoter fighting in another promotion, it's...
So, yeah, and it'll be cool to see, and, you know, and I haven't seen him in a while. Dude's dropping down to 205. I mean, he's fought at heavyweight as a pro, but decided to go at light heavy for this. So we'll do that.
Fighting a guy out of Buckeye.
Yep.
Tobin, so, yep.
So, we'll Iron Mike, as far as the world of MMA, it seemed kind of, knock on wood, it seemed a little slow. What are some of the things that we're going to be talking about in headlines?
It's a little light, but, you know, we have some big fights from last week we need to talk about with the UFC and then the Bellator fights up in Canton. So we'll recap that. Also, you know, there's some stuff on the horizon to do with GSP and Carlos Condit, you know, that we can talk about as well.
And the UFC is on Versus tonight
as fights,
well.
Yeah.
So Dominic Cruz, man, fighting Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, I like Dominic Cruz, always watching him. So.
Yeah, it's just how do you prepare for that guy?
I keep reading that people get so upset about the way he fights, you know, because he's so, the way he dances around.
Boss Rutten says it the best. Until someone can mimic John Jones and until someone can mimic Dominic Cruz in your camp, those guys are going to be really, really hard to beat over the next few years. And he's exactly right. Get somebody in a camp that can give you that footwork.
How do you? That's why they're at the top of their game. Because
seriously, you're going to get no Curly from the Three Stooges. Yeah. He could probably do it a little bit there. I don't know.
I enjoy watching him fight. You know, I enjoy watching him do all that footwork and everything. I mean, my only beef with him, and I've heard it said before, is he hasn't really shown when using all that footwork being able to bring power strikes.
He lands
a lot of
he
punches.
He scored against Uriah and those guys, and we saw his footwork up close there
against
Doug when he fought Brian Bowles over here.
Bowles broke his hand. Yeah.
Damn. And those guys are probably, that's probably what this is all set up for.
I was actually reading Bowles talk about in the latest fight magazine saying that he can't deliver with the power because he's constantly, you know, moving his feet and doing all that stuff. So he doesn't actually place his feet and actually, you know, it's funny that you just brought that up.
Yeah, it's very technical.
Did you read that in Fight Magazine?
No, I didn't. Are we getting our new one here soon? What's this, a new one coming up? We should be.
There should be a new one coming any day now.
I wonder who's going to be on the cover of that.
I don't know.
I'm going to guess Nick Diaz.
Well, that would be like him driving off.
Oh,
on the back. They'll just have to use like a still from his YouTube video. You know, he's not sitting still. Let them take a picture.
That's true. He's not a fan of the media. But yeah, we're going to talk about the fights tonight on Versus, and we'll do a recap of. And we got local fights, and we'll do a recap of 135. Rampage is a believer.
I think we got something from Miller too. Mayhem.
What the heck is he yelling in the beginning of this? Hey.
This is Jason Miller. I don't know. He talks funny.
Like, somebody
had to use that. I had to use that in the intro because it was cracking.
He yelled it, but he evidently, and you guys were hipping me to this. He's like has a burgeoning karaoke career.
Yeah, he's a big karaoke guy.
Yeah, so we'll check that out. Maybe we can get some audio or something.
Sounds cool.
That.
Yeah, if you guys, Iron Mike, I know I don't want to put you. If you could find some of Mayhem Miller hitting the karaoke.
I think I know where to look. So
a lot of guys do different things to let loose, you know. Maybe that's his thing.
Hey guys, stick around. We'll have Josh Williams from Buckeye MMA joining us for headlines. It's coming up. Mixed Martial Arts QFM 96.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's best rock QFM 96. the biggest name in the sport enter the radio cage with Arch and DSP. It's Mixed Martial Arch on QFM 96.
Hey, it's Jason Mayhem Miller on QFM 96.
What is that with his hey?
It's Jason Mayhem Miller.
Why is he yelling at us?
I love him.
Hey, guys, I found it already.
Oh,
sounds
doors.
Like Harry Carey.
Iron Mike found it. This is a clip of when Jason Mayhem Miller in a karaoke bar.
All right, everyone. Up next for karaoke, one of our regulars, Jason Mayhem Miller, singing Rock and Roll Part 2. Give it up, everybody.
And Mayhem Miller. I'm out, bitches.
Okay, there, Jason. Good job, I guess. Up next, we've got Rita.
Very talented. I did not know Mayhem was so...
So
he had so many different talents.
I'm going to do that next time I do karaoke. I know what song to do.
The crowd seemed into it.
All right, man. Arch Madness, DSP. What's up, Arch Mike?
Just go to YouTube and look up... Jason Mayhem Miller karaoke, it'll pop up.
It'll pop right up. Iron Mike Dorsey joining us for headlines. Buckeye MMA's Josh Williams. Iron Mike, first of all, I should probably thank our good friends at Ultimate Wrestler. It starts here, it ends here. Ultimate Wrestler clothing. Visit ultimatewrestler.com. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
All right, guys, let's start with our UFC 135 recap, and we'll look over the fights that we predicted last week. We got to start with the fight. I have to say, it's the one, like I told you when it happened, I'm glad to be wrong about, and it was Nate Diaz against Takanomi Gori.
Absolutely. It was that was a career moment for him. It really, truly was. It turned his
where he was,
and he's a young fighter, and that's always we've been saying Nate's young for how many years now, and he still is young.
He's wishy washy, you know. Yeah. He's either. Performs really well, or you know, he
very, very could be a real defining moment for him, something that he could really watershed and turn into a great moment. His hands looked so much better than Gomi's. I didn't expect that coming, but man, his strikes were on point. He had a great game plan, and he really used his reach to his advantage. Josh Williams, are you a Nate Diaz guy? I mean, it seemed like he really, really. Worked on it, and he made a big jump last week, I think.
Yeah, no, he definitely looks awesome. His hands have come a long way. Do any of you guys know the age difference between Nick and Nate, by chance?
I don't. I think it's...
A couple years? Well, what got me just thinking right now was, when Nick was back in his first run in the UFC, he had a long string of disappointing losses, too. Usually to wrestlers, guys who were just taking him down, riding him out, stuff like that. And then it wasn't until a couple years later that you really saw the hands improve enough to where he started knocking cats out. And now I think we're starting to see where his brother is kind of going along the same path. I think we're going to see him really start to turn it up over the next couple of years now.
Well, you know, he absolutely destroyed him. And I had to say, I picked against him, but that's only because in my experience watching his other fights and picking him to win before, it's like you said, he was kind of wishy-washy. I expected him to come out and dominate those other fights like he finally did this time. So I'm glad to see him finally do whatever it was he had to do to get in that frame of mind, because I like the Diaz brothers.
I just pulled a Dorsey and actually found out just 2 years. So, I mean, right. Nate's 26 and, Nick's 28. So
wow. I mean, that's still young and he could really, really, and I like him at that weight. I like him. He's good at 155, man. I think that's solid for him. And he looked really, really good. Very impressed.
Go to stay at 170. That's where Nick's fighting. So, I mean.
Yeah, well. He might have shown up for the press conferences. I don't know. Maybe they were just trying to find a
show up.
They were trying to find a Diaz that would show up. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
The next fight we looked at was Josh Koscheck's victory over Matt Hughes.
Oof. First off, that's got to be it for Matt. I know he doesn't want to say the words.
He hasn't fought that much.
He doesn't want to say the words for retirement. But I think it's about up. And the dude can do whatever he wants. He's Matt Hughes. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, man.
I mean, Hall of Famer. I mean, I've never been a big Koscheck fan when it comes to his personality, but he looked good having those that 9 months off. I was wondering how he was going to look in the ring. Obviously, he looked pretty good. I mean, at 180, they're talking about, well, we'll talk about that later, about him going up in weight, but solid right before the end of the round. He knocked him out, so.
Yeah. You know, I was watching it, and what was all replaying in my head right before the fight was, oh, God, well, not Aaron Simpson. Tito's last fight. Not the last one. The one before where he choked out Bader.
Yeah.
That was kind of what was, like, replaying in my head. I was like, okay, you got your new guy. They're trying to push, coming up through the ranks. You're about to take out one of the old studs from back in the day. You know, it worked out
careful.
With Tito.
Yeah.
It worked out with Tito and Bader, but not so much with Hughes. I think Koscheck was just way too well-rounded and just too damn powerful for him.
And if you noticed, he took a couple shots to that eye.
Yeah,
too. I mean, and Hughes was testing it and seeing how it was, and you could tell it was in the back of Koscheck's mind, too.
Well, no, he even said, I read that he got hit a couple times, and he was like, oh, wow, I got to watch that. And then he felt confident, though, in camp. He had been getting hit a lot, so he was...
So you think Iron Mike, does that get Koscheck back into the mix for welterweights, I would think?
You know,
so.
I think so, too. You know, we talked about it as well. You know, there's even been talk, Doug and I were talking about the other day, about maybe Koscheck even moving up and being the guy that's going to maybe fight Anderson Silva eventually.
After a couple wins.
You know,
wins,
after a couple other guys get their crack at it.
He's got to move up. Is he going to fight GSP again? He's fought him twice already. He can't beat GSP. So
right.
he's got to go up to 185.
Go ahead. Well, you know what? I look at it as like Koscheck is the same boat that Franklin was in with Silva. He can handle everybody else in the division, but what's he going to do with the champ?
Yeah.
You know, where's his place? Just ultimately the second place guy?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why at welterweight, there's no reason for him to stay there because that's
Fitch's job.
Yep.
That's Fitch's gig. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
Finally, let's recap the main event from last week's fights. John Bones Jones defeat, submission defeat over Rampage Jackson. What'd you think?
Go ahead, Doug.
Obviously, me and you all thought John Jones, Rampage, obviously was humbled by the experience. And actually, that's the first time he's been finished since he was in the UFC. He's never been finished by anybody. So, good on Jones.
Good on Jones.
I kind of expected it.
And I like Rashad, but I kind of see why John was upset. That is twice that Rashad has come in after kind of deflated the moment for Jones. And
right.
I, you know, that does suck, man. Dude won the title that young of age and defended it at that young of age. And
against, Rampage.
Oh, my gosh. Just, against some just the best names in the business at light heavy. You know, that was kind of crappy. I don't think Rashad's got an answer for that. I don't think anybody's got an answer for that right now. If he wants I think his next threat will be Anderson, probably. I see that fight happen. I actually, we've talked about this, I think that fight should happen before the GSP fight. I still don't think that's fair to George to make him gain that weight, but yeah, Mike.
You know, I thought about what you were talking about too with Rashad coming into the cage after his fight. You know, usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought usually, if you think back, it's normally when the contender wins. You know what I'm saying? When the contender wins, they bring the champ in to say, all right, man, this is who you're going to get your crack at the belt. You know, but like I said, this last two times, it was kind of weird. They brought Rashad in with Jones being the champ.
Yeah, guys, I don't see anybody beating that guy at 205 right now. Just don't see it happening. We have more headlines to get through. Stick around. Like I said, we got Josh Williams. He's going to hang out with us. Chris Larkin has a fight tonight in the UBC. He is the headliner. We'll talk to him. Stick around. More Mixed Martial Arts, QFM 96.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's Best Rock, QFM 96. Time to enter the radio cage. It's Mixed Martial Arch on QFM 96.
Mixed Martial Arch, we're in the middle of headlines. It's brought to you by Ultimate Wrestler. It starts here, it ends here. Ultimate Wrestler Clothing. Visit theultimatewrestler.com. And before the break there, we got kind of cut short. We were talking about the Rampage Jones the Rampage Jackson and John Jones fight. And Josh Williams from Buckeye MMA is hopping in here on headlines with us. Your thoughts on John Jones after this latest fight? Just another stepping stone for a great young career.
Yeah, man. John Jones is really... This was the fight that I really kind of picked is going to be a kind of a defining moment for him, because I thought that Rampage was going to be the guy to at least challenging and push him. And it turns out he has. He pushed him into what, the fourth round?
Yeah.
So now I understand it really wasn't, it was kind of a one-sided four-round fight. I mean, I don't think Rampage was ever really in it or anything, but at least he pushed him a little bit, and that's, I mean, hell, that's more than what anybody else has done so far. But I'm looking at Jones as being the next freaking GSP, the next Silva. I mean, watch, he's systematically cleaning out his division.
And he's so young, I mean, yeah, think about how much more he's going to get better. You know, just
what does Rashad do, Josh, that the other guys didn't? Or what does he need to do, or what can he do?
Man, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's all... I think the guy that beats Jones is going to be the guy who can put the game together better than what Jones is. I mean, I think you kind of got to take advantage of his experience a little bit, which is going to be tough because he's looking better and better every fight. But
them training together, would that affect you if you were in Jones's corner? I mean, if you're Greg Jackson, does that run through your head? I mean, it seems to be making a lot. People make a lot of that. And as we get closer to the fight, you can only imagine how that's going to be shoved down our throat.
You know what? They're doing that to sell the fight. That's my opinion. I mean, I got guys now who, in my own gym, there's guys who just rarely train together for whatever reason. Some guys have different schedules. And I've heard through the grapevine and even on interviews that Jones and Rashad didn't really train together all that often, like one-on-one. So, I mean, really, in the gym, teammates and all that, they're probably more acquaintances than they are real tight. So I don't think it's going to make a big deal, you know, like that. I mean, I still think at this level of the game, and really at any level of the game, if you're going to be a fighter and you're going to fight anybody, then you got to have the mentality that it doesn't matter who's standing across from you. You got to kick his ass anyway, you know? So I don't really see either one of them backing down, and I don't think the head games are going to play that much of a big deal.
I've been reading a lot, actually. I was reading, actually, about Dominic Cruz and Pat Barry talking about, they were asking him, you know, what is it going to take to beat John Jones? And both of them agree that you got to get past his reach, get inside, and get him on his back somehow. Keep him from doing these unpredictable moves that everybody stands in front of him and knows it's going to happen at some point. And 30 seconds later, either you wake up or you're submitted. So, yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that's maybe the only way that he can
go ahead, Josh. Right, I you see me guys jumping over here. Here's the guy that I think could probably beat him if he ends up down at 205, which I think they're talking about. Dan Cormier. What, mark my words, Dan Cormier. Because look, Jones was on top of Rampage a couple times, and I heard Rampage just literally just bench pressed him right off. Like literally just got up. I think the guy that's going to beat Jones is the guy who can get past his reach and be a superior wrestler and keep him down. Now, Grant, I mean, easier said than done, of course, but Cormier's the guy. He's going to, and did any of you guys remember seeing or hearing about that video clip a couple of UFCs ago of Coleman just doing wrestling with Jones, like behind the scenes or whatever? There's video of it somewhere if you look, of Coleman and Jones just doing wrestling, just warming up doing wrestling, and Coleman just owning him on the ground. In terms of just pure wrestling ability, that's where I think somebody's going to be able to take care of Jones, but you got to get him there. That's going to be the biggest trick.
It's got to be so hard to get past that reach, man. I mean, that reach is dramatic.
And Mike and I watched the fight together, and honestly, Rampage's eyes were wide open that whole time. He had this look on his face like,
well, he's worried.
How do I get in this? How do I get inside this?
With Rampage, you have to get inside for him to be able to connect.
Just that riddle just could not get solved that night.
Were you wearing the shorts?
So what year was that? What year did he wrestle Jones? Do you know when that was? Mike?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it's no surprise to me that Coleman would manhandle Jones in the wrestling because, God, how old was Jones in 96?
96, back in 96?
Yeah, 96. John Jones is like, young.
Josh is like, what are you guys talking about? I'm sorry.
We have our little inside.
We have our
jokes
own inside.
We go into detail, then we look like jerks.
Yes.
But were you wearing the shorts? Were you wearing the shorts during the fights? I wasn't at
absolutely.
Your house.
Absolutely.
Was he?
Yeah, Mike?
He
yeah.
Was.
I always wear the shorts. Come on, man.
I haven't seen him.
It's the Carpenter Guida. I always wear him.
Think about that, though, for a second. Coleman, just a couple months ago, was for all intents, doing very good against Jones on the ground, controlling him on the ground. And by all regards, pretty much everybody agrees that Mark's kind of past his heyday. And he's still a good enough wrestler to be able to control John Jones on the ground. And a up-and-coming or still young guy who's still got the fire, if he can get him there... Mark my words, that's going to be the guy that's going to push Jones to the limit.
Cormier.
And Cormier could be that guy. Well, you know what? We're high on him too, man, on this show. Absolutely. Like Daniel Cormier. Iron Mike, what do you have for us?
Well, guys, there was also some other fights that night as well. Bellator was in the Buckeye State up in Canton. Let's throw it to Josh here. He was there. Tell us a little bit, man. What was your impression?
Yeah, talk about the fights up there.
You know what? I think Bellator... sadly, I think the organization was a little upset. I don't think the turnout was quite as good as they were hoping for. which kind of sucks. But I have heard already that they're planning on coming back. They recognize some of the talent. And, I mean, hell, guys, with the fights that the local guys, the Ohio talent they brought on, made the show.
Do you think it was because there was a UFC pay-per-view that night, a championship fight, that some of the attendance wasn't as
high? No, because I heard from a couple of the guys who were fighting saying that they weren't even given tickets to start selling until about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. So, and that was one of the main event guys telling me this. So I don't think it got the push that they really could have gotten. But in terms of the fights, man, you couldn't really go wrong. All the undercard fights were awesome. There was like 4 knockouts by knee that night. Just, I mean, incredible. The first one of the night was Joey Holt versus Clint Musser. Clint Musser was like a multiple-time Ohio State champ wrestler, and undefeated as an Emmy, and he was really expected to roll right through Joey Holt. And for the first 4 minutes of the first round, he did. He controlled Joey on the ground, kept him there, was landing strikes, kept him against the fence. Finally, Holt broke free, got to his feet. Musser changed levels. Holt knew it was coming. As Musser changed levels, Holt flew up in a picture-perfect, beautiful flying knee, collided knee first right into Musser's face and dropped him like a sack of rocks. Incredible performance. When they showed the replay, it was a thing of beauty. It's going to be on Bellator highlights from here on out. I guarantee it. Let's see. John Hawk from Strong Style beat Alan Weichert by like TKO stoppage in the second round. Decent fight. I don't know. I'm not a big fan really of either guy. The next big one, Dan Spawn, making his Bellator debut. He was in here. He was telling everybody he wanted to make a statement. He was thinking of it as an audition to Bellator. Well, dude, I think you knocked your audition right out of the ballpark.
Definitely.
Dan just tied the Bellator record with a 9-second knockout. And, dude, when I tell you 9 seconds for the guys who saw the fight, that 9 seconds includes him touching gloves, walking back to his corner, and walking right back out again just to knock the guy
out.
Yeah,
it was instant.
And when I threw that message onto your Facebook, Josh, right after it happened, you'll notice that I had like 6 or 7 spelling errors. I was very, very excited, and I had been drinking.
He was jumping up and down.
I was just, well, we all were calling each other. Yeah. We were all going nuts.
My favorite part of the whole night is obviously I was out doing some other stuff for work, and Arch calls me, and he's like, hey, man, the fight's getting ready. Come on, you want me to call you and let you know when it's over? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So, like, literally, I hang up, and it's like 2 seconds later, my phone rings again, and I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's over. I'm like, whoa.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
I had it on my because it was streaming at that point on spike.com. I went down to check, you know, what fight was going on my computer downstairs. And right as I walked downstairs, I see them announcing Dan in the ring. I'm like, oh, sweet. And blinking an eye, it was over. I was just like, holy crap, that was fast. And then I started calling everybody, and I couldn't get a hold because I guess you guys were calling each other at the same time.
It was awesome. And Dan, congratulations again, bro. Wanted to get Dan on today.
It's been an
absolute whirlwind week for the dude. So yeah. We will get him on. I know some people were asking if we were going to get Dragon on, and we will again. So just congratulations, Dan. That's awesome. Really, some of the guys that we've had on this show, the success they've had at Bellator, I mean, way to go, B-Raj. Way to go, Dan Spawn. Man. I mean, it's very, very exciting time. For young, up and coming,
I think we are good luck chance,
Ohio fighters. Somehow. We are, man. I'm telling you,
for 99% of the people.
Well, hey guys, the mixed martial arts, it will continue. You, the fight fans, you're counting on us. I think a little bit. Are they? Somewhat.
I
don't know. I heard some of the messages. There's a few guys that aren't really counting on us.
Hey, stick around. Probably a good thing.
Stick around. QFM 96.
It's the show Columbus fight fans turn to. It's Mixed Martial Arts on QFM 96.
We are back. Mixed Martial Arts. It is the show fight fans turn to.
Hey,
Mayhem Miller. Hey, also want to give a shout out to our buddies over at Sweet Baby Octane, the official tattoo parlor of the Mixed Martial Arts show. Give them a call at 614-488-1300 today to set up an appointment. So
they do some good work.
They're the best, man. I got to get back in.
I just like going in there because the place is so cool, man. It's not like a regular tattoo parlor.
It's very cool.
It's like a house of oddities. I don't know how to explain it.
It is cool, man. It is cool.
And they make you feel comfortable, and they do great work. So,
and we got Josh Williams from Buckeye MMA in here, and he was actually up at the Bellator event last weekend. We talked about some of the earlier fights. One fight in particular, the main event, Joe Warren absolutely blown up in that fight. Talk about how that went down and what that was like to see that live, because That drops some jaws, seriously, at the arena and on TV.
Yeah, man, I don't think anybody really expected, what's his last name, Villa?
Villa, yeah.
Villa,
yeah.
I don't think anybody really expected a whole lot, even though he's got the wrestling credentials. I don't think anybody's really expecting, and Joe Warren, he's dropping, he's already a champ, and, you know, he was the heavy favorite going in. But I'll tell you what, on a personal level, I really didn't care for the guy.
Right.
I was shared backstage with him. He tried to come in and throw his weight around a little bit with his camp, thinking that you kind of got the impression that he felt the show was built around him.
Well, karma's a bitch, man.
Oh, yeah, Villa putting him in his place hard, man. I saw that, and it's kind of bad when all the fighters backstage are cheering when you get knocked out.
It's good.
You know? I mean, that's what everybody's like. They're like, yeah, you got what you deserve, dude. You know?
Wow, and he was out. I mean, he was out. I mean,
well, and I want to say he got dropped twice, didn't he? Like, he got clipped early.
He got clipped early,
and then boom, lights went out.
But then he got kind of hindoed on Bisping with being out, kind of.
You love the knockouts where their legs and arms still stay out.
They stiffen up.
And they're like actually above the ground. They're not laying limp.
I always think, and I know this is radio and this will not transfer, but for those of you who've been watching the sport for a long time and remember Tank Abbott, Tank Abbott.
Latua.
I'm trying to think. Who did he hit?
It was Matua, his first fight.
And he hit him. The guy knocked the guy back, and he was like all locked up. And then like Tank looked at him and was like, and like mocked what he was doing. You know, acted like he was so knocked out. It was just, I've seen it. He kind of looked like the zombies in the Thriller video. You guys remember that? I'm really dating myself, but
I was
even
there.
Got the red leather jacket.
Yes, I watched that fight live, man.
Yeah, that was one of the scariest fights ever because it was the first brutally vicious knockout that you'd seen in the UFC where a guy literally looked like, oh my God, is he going to get up?
Did he just die?
Like, holy cow. And then to have Tank mock him.
Yeah.
Right afterwards, that was the craziest part. I was like, wow, this guy's really mean.
He really is not known for his. You know what? And if you read the new Big John McCarthy book, he talks about his friendship with Tank and how they came up and stuff together. I don't know. Tank kind of, the more I read about it, I'd like to read more about Tank because it seems like he kind of.
He's a character, man.
Exactly.
He knows how to sell
character.
Yeah, you know, yeah. He was into that. He really wanted to kind of sell it at that point, and he had to at that part of the sport when it was that early. Yes, Iron Mike, what do you have?
Well, guys, tonight we have some fights as well Versus. It's UFC Live 6. You want to jump into our predictions here?
Yeah, let's do that, man. Throw the first one at us.
All right, first fight of the night is Anthony Rumble Johnson and Charlie, who I've just been informed is known as the Spaniard.
The
Spaniard Brenneman.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, you know what? This is a pick'em for me. Charlie Brenneman is a very good wrestler. He's from Pittsburgh. I kind of want to root for him just because he's somewhat local to us. And I've known of Charlie for a couple years. Rumble is a tall order for anybody, man. Their records are similar, 9-3 versus 14-2. It's going to turn into a wrestling battle, I'm sure. But you know, your guess is as good as mine.
You know, obviously, Brenneman being the guy that beat Rick Story by surprise, you know, fill in, actually.
In front of his home crowd.
Right. So, you know, I don't know too much about Brenneman other than that. You know, I haven't seen a lot of his fights. I'm going to go with Charlie on this, though, just because I think he's just going to sneak up and out wrestle him. You know, I think, like Josh said, he's going to get him on the ground and surprise us with that.
My reasoning is very, very scientific. It has actually some math involved. I'm pretty sure Charlie Brenneman, and it's hockey season, I'm pretty sure he's got a Sidney Crosby jersey somewhere in his house. So I'm going to take Anthony Rumble Johnson. Okay. I refuse to root for anybody from Pittsburgh during hockey season. It's just. Okay. And they probably in some way are affiliated with Sidney Crosby.
Football season.
And I don't know. It's no. Sidney Crosby is such of a JJ. Go, bro.
All right, guys. Well, I think I'm going to take Rumble Johnson as well.
Right on.
I just look back, and I know Dan Hardy's kind of been on a downward spiral here his last few fights, but I was impressed in that fight that Johnson had against Dan Hardy. You know, he really put it on him, but then again, I guess you could look at it and say, who hasn't put it on Dan Hardy lately?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just going to pick Rumble.
Dude, I'm sorry. Charlie Brenneman and Dan Hardy deserve to be on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of grappling ability and takedown defense. Anything that Anthony Johnson was able to do to Dan Hardy, he's not even going to get a whiff of with Charlie Brenneman.
Well, you can poke him right in the eye, too. That always works with Anthony Johnson.
Well, I like Rumble because he beat a British guy, you know?
See?
As long as he beat up on the British.
As long as England fans and guys from England. That's just what we have issues on
this
show.
Take your fish and chips somewhere else.
What do you got, Iron Mike?
Next fight of the night, Pat Barry versus Stefan Struve.
Wow.
I'm actually interested in this fight.
Just go for it,
the height distance or the 6'11 to 5'11. I mean, that's a huge difference. A whole foot. Obviously, Struve is just a massive, lengthy. But I think we were talking about it earlier that I don't think he has the same power as Pat Barry. Pat Barry can just get in there and destroy him with those leg kicks and everything. I'm going Pat Barry on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pat Barry as well. I think Pat Barry should come out wearing like a flannel shirt and carrying an axe because he's going to look like a lumberjack chopping Stefan Struve down to the ground, man. I expect him to eat those legs up. If Struve can't keep Pat Barry on the outside, which I just don't really think he's going to be able to do, he's going to get eaten up. He doesn't have the same kind of power that Barry does.
No, and after losing to Congo, he's got something to prove too.
And this is a real interesting fight because these are two guys that are coming off of getting like knocked out devastatingly. Yeah. I mean, you think of what Travis Brown did to Struve, and then, of course, who could forget maybe comeback or knockout of the year.
One of the coolest things I've seen. I mean, that was such a crazy
Congo
fight.
Congo and Barry fight, yeah. I'm going to take Pat in this one, too, man. I think Struve's still a little ways off. I still think he's, believe it or not, I still think he's a little green in the business, and I think his best days are ahead of him.
25 wins.
Yeah,
green.
I do. I do. There's something.
Only
I think
30
there's
pro
some,
fights, but he's
I
green.
I think there's something to be said for a guy and that level of competition that you get in the UFC, and he just seems like he's UFC green to me. And yeah. I like Pat Barry. And like you said, Doug, those leg kicks, man, those do damage.
His wins in the past have been because of his height and his length and his reach. So, I mean, I think that has come into play. Yeah. But I think against Pat Barry, it's not going to really help him.
And you know what? And kind of back up what I'm saying there, I almost kind of, that's the way I felt about Nate. You know what I mean? It just seemed like Nate couldn't get past being the young guy. You know, he's racked up a ton of fights too, but he never really had that signature moment like he did with Gomi. And I still think Struve's a little ways off from that. I still think he's got some stuff that he needs to take care of in his game. What do you think there, Aaron Mike?
I'm going with you guys. I'm taking Pat Barry. I've always been a big fan, and I like him in this fight. You know, just like Josh said, he's going to be like a lumberjack chopping him down.
I just don't get the upside-down sunglasses. I don't know.
I mean,
it's not even comfortable.
It can't be. How wearing your sunglasses?
I cock my hat a little bit sometimes.
You do, bro.
But the upside, I don't wear upside down sunglasses, though. I mean,
right? But
I don't get
but
that.
Doug, I mean, your pimp hand is quite strong. So I mean, let's ask
Michael Luce.
He does, man. Hey, Doug's got 99 problems, but you know what I mean. All right, what's our main event here, Iron Mike?
All right, guys, the main event of the night is Dominic Cruz's title defense fight against Demetrius Johnson.
You want this one, Josh? Go first, brother.
I'm going on record now. My money's 100% on Dominic Cruz. Demetrius Johnson, it's Mighty Mouse, right?
Yeah, that's Mighty Mouse.
I mean, he's 14-1. Obviously, he knows how to win, and he's looked good. He just fought Benavides or Torres?
Torres. He beat Torres. He beat Miguel.
How'd that go? Did he win by decision, or did he stop him? Anybody know?
It was decision.
Yeah, because I remember it being heartbroken.
And I'm willing to bet you it was probably him taking Torres down a lot, right?
Like everybody has.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I don't see him doing that against Cruz, even with a 5-inch difference in reach and in height. Dominic's going to tower over Demetrius. And the same thing that's going to make John Jones a beast for anybody at 205 is going to make Dominic too much for Demetrius at 135.
I mean, he's one of my pound-per-pound best fighters out there. So, I mean, I don't think Demetrius is going to be able to hang with Dominic. I think it's a whole new level. We've seen him fight many, many times. I mean, this is going to be just another win for him, I think, easily.
And Demetrius, and I want to say, it might have been David McKinney, when he was in a long, long time ago, was talking about Demetrius, and if they open up even something under the 135 mark, if they bring in some of the lighter weights, that's right, where a guy like Demetrius might be.
Excel.
He might even work his way into the pound-for-pound once he gets a division where he would be more comfortable. I got to look at Mike here first. Are you going to pick him in an upset?
No, I'm taking the Dominator. Okay. I'm taking the Dominator.
All right, because I was thinking about it, because I really like Demetrius Johnson.
No,
I think he has a better chance than we're giving it. You know what? The hell with you guys. I'm going to shock. You know what? We're shocking the world on Versus. And I'm going to, and I know he's pound for pound and all that stuff. I'm gonna take Demetrius and probably the upset of the year. And you know what? I don't have the Nick Diaz fight anymore. Guys, I'm reeling. I'm looking for an upset now. And I don't know if I'm gonna find it. And I don't know why I want to do this in the Dominic
He's
Cruz
missing
fight.
Up a little bit.
Honestly, it could be, you know, just some of the bong rasp
sure that's
kind of clogged
the fight
up
that
my
you
mind.
Do that in?
What?
You want this is the fight you
want to
do that in?
I don't
want to
use it. I know, and I was
yeah,
perfect.
You're gonna play your upset guard.
Hey, I'm just for Mighty Mouse. Hey, I was perfect. I was perfect
last
week.
You guys all were last week, except for me.
Well, but you took a shot with Gomi. I mean,
you got a shot.
A while.
Right. So, you know, we'll let you
darn
have
it.
A chance.
5 years ago, Mike.
How can,
right.
Yeah, how can I take Demetrius Johnson? How can I take Mighty Mouse as a nickname over arguably one of the best fighters in the world? I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. There, the hell with you guys. I'm taking Mighty Mouse to beat one of the best fighters in the world. Yes.
I want Dominic to win that fight, though, because I want to see him and Bowles. I want to see that rematch.
I do. I know.
Bowles wants that bad, too. So,
yeah. hopefully that'll be right. The next fight after this.
Look, just don't hold it against me, guys. I'm taking Demetrius in this, and I've done. And yes, go ahead and email me and call me. I deserve it. But I'm taking Demetrius Johnson in an upset. Yes. So we've got,
Tonight we got the local fights as well. So your boy Toybin's fighting Chris Largan.
Right on. Yeah. We're going to have Chris on here in a little bit. If you could, give us a little bit of background on your guy, the guy that's going to be taking on Chris Largan in the main event.
All right. Toybin McEwen. Toybin is a really good wrestler. He's going to be a little bit older. This is going to be kind of like a senior citizen bout. You know,
right?
Chris is 36. Toybin is every bit of 40. He might even be 41. I know he's not going to appreciate me giving him an extra year.
He didn't actually hone in on anything. Was he from parts unknown? We don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. When you take a look at him, if you didn't know it, if I didn't tell you what his age was, I guarantee you wouldn't guess.
That's great.
The dude looks. He reminds you of Randy Couture.
Right
when
on,
you see
man.
Toybin take his shirt off, he looks like Randy Couture. He's jacked. Looks like a bodybuilder.
I'm pumped, man. Doug and I are planning on hitting these fights tonight. What do you see in this one? Where's it gonna go?
It's gonna go to the ground at some point. I listen. I keep my ears open. Chris has been training a lot of his ground game. We've heard that. I'm sure he has. I mean, he's a jiu-jitsu guy.
Right on.
Toybin is a wrestler. But from, I can tell you our side of things, you know, training Toybin for this, he's not going to play a jiu-jitsu game with Chris. We're not even going to attempt. It may go to the ground, but we're not playing jiu-jitsu.
Right.
It's going to be Toybin doing his best to either neutralize or stay out of the guard and land strikes. And, obviously anything can happen, but I don't see Chris outstriking Toybin on the feet. I really don't see it be turning into a stand-up match for either guy, to be perfectly honest with you. And on the ground, if it goes to the ground, when it goes to the ground, I expect Toybin to be on top. So it's just going to depend on can Chris pull off a sub from underneath and can Toybin put him away or ride him out from on top.
I'm excited for this fight, man. This will be a good main event. What right. Now, Doug? Did you roll with him a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the dude is strong, like a bull, man. I mean, like you say, you look at Toybin. You don't assume he's 40 years old if that's how old. Dude's built. He's jacked, man. I mean, he's strong. I remember my neck hurting for like a week.
I remember that. I remember you talking about that.
But no, he's a strong guy. So and he's obviously big wrestler. So
awesome.
I'm actually very excited for the fight. So.
That should be fun tonight.
Yeah,
man.
I think it's gonna turn out real good. They're kicking around different ideas after Chris's previous fight sort of fell through, and they came up with Toybin, and I thought it's pretty competitive fight.
Good deal.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good matchup. Main event for UVC tonight. So everybody who's listening, come on out and cheer on the local guys.
Yeah, support the local
crowd. No kidding, man. No matter who your guy is, get out, support these guys. This is, my God, and we'll talk about it with Chris Larkin. Here's a guy, promotes another promotion. I mean, he's going to bring his cage.
Set it up.
Then fight. I mean, it's just
in it.
It's just cool, man. Everybody that's going to be at this show tonight loves the sport, and I just think it's a good night for Columbus Fight fans. And get out to the Aladdin Shrine Temple, UVC tonight, and we're really, really looking forward. Josh, thanks for hopping in with us, man. We do appreciate it.
No problem, guys.
Stick around. We got Chris Larkin. He is in the main event in tonight's fight at the UVC at the Aladdin Shrine Temple. Stick around. Mixed Martial Arts, QFM 96.
More rage in the radio cage when Mixed Martial Arts continues on Ohio's Best Rock, QFM 96. The biggest name in the sport enter the radio cage with Arch and DSP. It's Mixed Martial Arts on QFM 96.
Mixed Martial Arts, QFM 96. It is the show that fight fans turn to, and it's time for Local Love, brought to you by GatewayMMA.com. And tonight at the Aladdin Shrine Temple, you've got the UVC in the house. We have the main event. And how cool is this? You never would have thought at a UVC main event, but yes, here we go. We got Chris Larkin in the house. What's up, dude?
Not much. Not much. Thanks for having me in, guys.
So yeah, man, it's kind of cool that we have, you know, let's face it, another promoter from another show fighting in another promotion. It's kind of cool, man. Talk about your fight.
I'm excited. It's been 2 years since I fought in a cage. You know, I've had a couple of injuries and, you know, a couple of losses I'm coming off of. But it's, you know, some injuries, refocused my training in jiu-jitsu. And, you know, I was offered a fight a few months ago. And I said, sure. Opponent, you know, things happen with the opponent. So I was offered Tobin McEwen. And, you know, it's a great matchup for me. I'm really excited for it. He's a tough guy. You know, if you check my record, I fight tough guys. You know, I don't turn down any fight. Tobin's undefeated coming into this fight. So, you know, I got my hands full.
And the funny thing is, before we got on the air with Chris, you got to set up your own cage to fight in. I mean, that's crazy.
That's using the tools of your trade,
right,
man.
It's home field advantage.
It should be right on, man. So you're like, Chris Larkin, you guys have had him on before. And Chris is, of course, with the OFC. What do you guys have coming up in the future?
Be honest with me, my business partner was yelling at me because I told him I wasn't going to do anything until after, you know, come Monday, you know.
Yeah, let's focus
as you
let's
were just saying a second
tonight.
Ago, you know, it's really stressful, you know, with all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes for a fight. And, yeah, I wanted to try to have as clear of a head as I could for tonight's fight.
And now, how many pro fights have you had?
I think 15.
Okay. Now, I got it. And Steeler fans that are listening right now, you're going to absolutely know this name. I'm sorry. I was not hip, and I've looked at your bio for I don't know how long. I've read. Who did you fight in Pennsylvania? Tell these guys. This is cool.
I was offered, offered a cage rental. And while talking to the promoter, he needed somebody to fight this big heavyweight by the name of Carlton Hasselrig, and I'm not a Steelers fan. You know, not a big
right
wrestler.
Right on, but no, people know that name.
Know, so I was like, you know, what's his record? And they told me what they're paying. I said, yeah, I'll take it. So I fought Carlton Hasselrig in his hometown of Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
And college wrestling fans, you don't even have to be a Steeler fan. College wrestling fans would remember the name Carlton Hasselrig when he was it, as far as wrestling.
Yeah, he was a 6-time NCAA wrestling champion. You know, it's one of the last guys that could actually wrestle, you know, after him, you know, in both divisions.
Wow. And then went on to play for the Steelers for a few years. And I bet that was tough fighting a guy. You had to do that often, fighting a guy in his hometown?
Actually, that was the first time besides, you know, a couple of local fights here in Columbus as an amateur, you know, down in Lancaster when I first started fighting for Mark Coleman and Wes Sims and Kevin Randleman. But, that was actually the first time. So it was, you know, kind of a unique experience.
Right on. Talk about your opponent. I know he fights for Buckeye. If you could hip us to him.
He's fought in my cage. You know, a lot of people use my cage. I've watched him fight several times. He's a strong wrestler. You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of his stand up. You know, his fights usually go to the ground fairly quickly. And I know he's strong and conditioned. I believe he's 40 or 41. He's an older guy like me. He's in the Army or was in the Army. So, you know, I have two Army guys, you know,
going at
it tonight. It's going to be fun. I know he's got the conditioning to, you know, go the distance. And I've been there before, so I'm looking forward to it.
What's going through your mind day of the fight? I mean, are you just, you know, staying focused? You know, obviously you're rehydrating
you're
yourself.
You're worried
today.
About your cage. I mean, what? Are you,
no, actually,
don't lean on my cage. What do you? You got all kinds of stuff.
I try to just relax. You know, I try to come into it. It's just another training session. You know, I mean, you know, I hate being. You know, it's one of the things about being pro is I know I fight at the end of the card, which, you know, sucks. I'd rather be the first guy out there, get it done over, because I'm a fan of the sport. I'd rather sit there and watch all the fights.
You could enjoy them a little more if you didn't have to ride.
But when I'm fighting, you know, sometimes I find it easier just to, you know, get away. But I had to say there was one time that it was back before the commission was real strict with their policies. I actually set my cage up. Friday night, was headed to weigh-ins on one of my own shows. One of the guys backed out, so I was able to step in, take the fight the next day. I ring announced the entire show. I called my opponent out to the cage. I called myself out to the cage. I won my fight. I won my fight, and I got outside, announced the last two pro fights, and then tore the cage down.
Wow.
So,
man.
And, you know, sitting there ring announcing, one of my buddies was sitting right behind me. He hits me back in the head, hey, you fight next. And I was like, oh, crap, you're right, I do. So it was kind of weird because I wasn't thinking about my fight because I was too busy talking about the show. You know, but I have had the balls to try that again. You know,
you know what we're thinking?
It sounds like
you
work
this
here.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, you are the Joe Show of MMA, doing everything.
Now, Chris, you said it's been a couple of years since your last fight, and we all know that you've been really involved in the local fight scene here in Columbus. You know, has that been really frustrating and difficult for you to have to sit back and see all these guys fight and be at all these fights and knowing that you wanted to get back out there and do it, and it's been, you know, 2 long years since you've had the chance now?
Yeah, it's been a little bit frustrating, but, you know, it's for a good reason because throughout my career, I've never really had, you know, a coaching staff or, like, you know, somebody that was really guiding me, you know, and helping me pick my fights and saying, hey, you're not ready, you're not taking that fight. Like I said, I fight anybody, you know, you call me up and I fought anybody. But now that I'm training at Rough House with Carlos and Arthur, you know, Arthur said, hey, you're not fighting until you're 185 or 205. You know, you're not fighting in heavyweight anymore. So for the first year, that was kind of the thing as I was really trying to work on my weight, but I'm a soccer dad, so it's kind of hard to train full time and be a dad. And, but, you know, in the last few months, I really just, you know, turned it up, and said, you know, I'm gonna give it another shot. And, you know, I've come off some injuries, torn ankles, you know, blew out knee. So I'm feeling good, feeling strong, and I'm excited.
Man, and we are too. Well, the show will be there. Mixed Martial Arts will definitely be there tonight. The UVC is at the Aladdin Shrine Temple, and Chris Larkin in the main event tonight. You don't want to miss it. Doug, I'm looking forward to this.
No, it's going
to
be cool. When I heard you were fighting, I was like, we got to go see this.
That's right, man. You're a good friend of the show, so we would miss your fight.
No, definitely.
And absolutely.
I just think it's crazy. You're fighting in your own cage. That's really cool. Now, what are you going to eat? What's your first thing you're going to eat after the fight? You got something you want to... Mine was a burger. I wanted a big burger, which I never actually ate.
The correct answer is poo nanner.
That stuff I used to eat back in the day.
I'm actually craving pizza.
Pizza?
There
pizza.
You go.
Yeah, good healthy pizza.
Yeah.
Right on.
No, nothing healthy about it.
Chris Larkin, best of luck to you tonight, bro. We'll be there.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go, man. Chris Larkin fighting tonight at the UVC. Once again, that is at the Aladdin Shrine Temple. Local love, mixed martial arch. All right, man. Thanks a lot, Chris Larkin. So, so cool. What a good guy, man. Good Pretty friend cool. of the show. Looking forward to, after we talk to Josh Williams and what Tobin's going to bring, and now Chris Larkin, really, really looking forward to tonight's fight.
Yeah, we'll be going.
Did I really take Demetrius Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Mighty Mouse, yep.
We'll see. You never know. Stand behind and have a backbone, you know, Arch.
Chance.
I hear you. Yeah, looking forward tonight, Doug. We'll hook up.
Aladdin,
and get on over
where
there,
is it then. At? The Aladdin Shrine?
The Aladdin Shrine Temple.
Okay.
So, and from what Josh was kind of telling us off the
Pretty
air.
Cool place.
It is really cool. And, fight fans, if you go and get your ticket there, you're going to really enjoy it. Not a bad seat in the house from what we're told. Looking forward to it. We'll be there.
I'm going to see if we can still convince Iron Mike to go somehow.
Did you, you didn't take,
you, passed
you didn't
by
take
Mama
Demetrius,
Bear.
you didn't take Mighty Mouse in that fight? I kind of thought you'd have my back on that one.
No.
What do you got going on?
I think I'm going to be stuck at the VC.
Yeah. You just beat Michigan State. You focus in on that. Let's just get the Big Ten started correctly, Iron Mike. Absolutely. So yeah, man, looking forward to tonight. Thanks to Josh Williams. Thanks to Chris Larkin.
Remember, if you're at a bar and they have karaoke,
look for Mayhem.
You might be out there doing his little performance.
That's right. I hear he does a great, great Joe Cocker.
I hear he likes to do Hey Dude too, you know. So
hey guys, it's the show Fight Fans Turn To. We will see you next Saturday morning. Same bat time, same bat channel. Mixed Martial Arts, QFM 96.
You've been listening to Mixed Martial Arch, sponsored by Bud Light. Here we go with your host, Arch Madness, co-host and producer, Doug St. Pierre, executive producer, Iron Mike Dorsey, production assistant, Ty the Canal Zombie Stevens. This has been a Wilkes Broadcasting production.
Oh!